back, and we have Ann Morrison here, a brilliant scientist for Twiland.info. And Ann, you've got a lot of material to cover, which, by the way, we do a recap afterward with videos that show all your fancy pictures and diagrams. Man, you do some serious research. And I'm going to add to this, to add some further salt to the wounds of people thinking that this is not serious. Let's go over the top stories here. You've got lots of them here. Biosecurity, climate change, seismic activity. Let's go over all these issues.
I think the most important thing is climate, but let's go over these biosecurity issues quickly.
Right.
Now, what they did was they've done studies now, you know, monkeys, humans are primates and monkeys are primates.
Right.
And so they can learn a lot by studying Zika in monkeys, and as it turns out, in monkeys in Honduras. And they found out that pregnant monkeys were likely to have Zika persist in their blood far longer than monkeys who were not pregnant. Now, normally Zika clears of the blood in about a week, although it may remain in the seminal fluid, saliva, and breath for months or years.
Right.
So they've drawn up a hypothesis, and they studied this over with more than just one monkey. And the hypothesis is that pregnant women may get reinfected from their fetus.
Right.
Now, we know that the Zika virus can penetrate immune barriers, such as the placenta.
Right.
They keep the immune system of the female from attacking the parasitic-like fetus.
Right.
And when the pregnant woman catches the Zika virus, the virus penetrates the placental barrier and it infects the fetus, and that's when the fetus starts to develop microcephaly. But now it is believed that the Zika shedding from the fetus can return through the placenta into the woman. And one result of that is that doctors can monitor the maternal blood for Zika, and if it persists more than a week, then that would be an indication that the fetus itself is infected with Zika.
Right. So, in other words, those are new benchmarks to determine whether or not they have an infected fetus, and then they can do a transabdominal ultrasound and see if there's the loss of the cortex and the size of the head is not conjoint with the length of the fetal bone structures, indicating there's some microcephaly developing from but it's called UPR, unfolding protein activation of the endoplasmic reticulum, and a neurotrophic loss of cortical cells causing microcephaly in the fetus. So the only part of the brain left is the reptilian brain.
Absolutely. And it's kind of creepy to think of this Zika virus going back and forth through the placenta. But, as scientists, we have to go where the evidence leads us.
Right.
Okay, the next one is about the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research.
Right.
And they are testing an inactivated Zika vaccine. And it's based on a cell-cultured Japanese encephalitis vaccine.
Right.
That has already been approved by the FDA and is in use. So they're hoping to start human trials of the Zika cell-cultured vaccine by the end of the year. And believe me, an inactivated virus vaccine is much safer than a live attenuated virus vaccine.
Now, there's a benchmark, and I'll just explain the technology of this. So for doctors out there and scientists that may want to consider it, if you do fluorodeoxy-labeled glucose-labeled lymphocytes that are in a specific T-cell clone that are specifically cultured to grow and attack specifically Zika virus-infected cells, then you can determine if this antibody, this inactivated antibody, which tags the virus, allows your T lymphocytes to find it more avidly and to destroy them. And you can actually do a scan, a fluorodeoxy scan with these radio-labeled T lymphocytes, which grow in culture, and determine on what's called the positronic or PET scan if your vaccine is effective, in which areas it's actually attacking the tissues. I don't know or believe that this has actually ever been done before, but it's pretty simple to do. It's a very simple process to make a radio-labeled T-cell clone of lymphocytes that would then be tagged so you could actually see them on a PET scan. Because what you do is you see what's called positronically labeled electrons, which are positively charged electrons in the fluorodeoxyglucose, and it would tell you exactly where their anatomic location is if you're actually seeking and destroying those infected cells. The problem with the normal immune system is it doesn't literally light up the immune system, so the lymphocytes can't find it. If this vaccine works, it's just one step in the process. I believe what they need to do is high-risk women, they should be giving them T lymphocytes to seek and destroy the virus before it either infects their uterus permanently or the fetus or causes chronic low-grade subclinical neurological degenerative disorders such as, Parkinson's disease or problems with synapses in their brain or all kinds of neurological problems like transverse myelitis that we don't necessarily directly connect. So, because we may not know these things for months or years before they start to show up, and you know, wise doctors and nurses are watching, say, I think there might be a connection with Zika, because it's so difficult to identify the Zika virus because it hides in the immune system. So, let's go on to the next issue.
Actually, I want to skip the yeast issue and go to the second article down, which is about just exactly what you were talking about. They've done a study now of the West Nile virus. Now, remember, the West Nile virus is in the same family as the Zika virus, and it hides in the immune system and actually in the brain. And what they're finding is that over 50% of the patients who survive the neuroinvasive infection with the West Nile virus have chronic cognitive impairment for the rest of their lives. And they've done a study now, and they did postmortem samples to look to see what was happening, why this was happening to people who had West Nile virus. And what looks like what happens is that it gets into, and you probably know what part of the brain this is, hippocampus.
Yeah, the hippocampus, which is your memory card file system, and it's the synaptic terminals that are primarily cholinergic that get affected. Please continue.
Yes, and when those presynaptic terminals get damaged, then you can't remember. And so now they think that they understand why patients who had the West Nile virus, they have synaptic terminal loss, and that's why they have spatial memory impairment.
Right. So, there's three stages to memory, just to fill people in that may or may not be neuroscientists. The first stage is what's called a virtual network. In other words, there's a virtual array that's nonlinear. Array of synaptic connections that creates a harmonic array to reproduce the experience or whatever. In other words, you can't learn something that's not related to something you already know, and you have to create what's called a harmonic frequency array. And it crosses different areas of the cortex. The second stage is what's called synaptic. We call synaptic terminals develop to facilitate pathways to make it easier to recall that array. And the third is what's called microtubular. Every tissue in the body, every cell of every living organism in the vertebrate and invertebrate kingdom makes microtubules, so cells remember specific responses in the environment. And the terminal stage is microtubules. If you have synaptic terminals that get lost, you don't form the proper number and array and distribution of microtubules for the cells to reproduce an action potential to reproduce the what's called the nonlinear array, or we call the synaptic array that actually creates the memory or the memory trace and recalls it through the hippocampus. So when you lose this, you're literally losing your ability to go to the card file system to find the memories and to reactivate neural networks. So that's pretty serious. And I've seen a number of cases with West Nile virus, and you're exactly right. These people basically are in a mental cloud after their infection. And I do have things that can help that, including things that help regenerate their neural pathways and their synapses. But they have BAF, or brain on fire, and they get permanent upregulation of the microglia. So if you measure specific organic acids in their urine or even imaging studies of their brain, you can see they have BAF, or brain on fire. And when people say they can't see it, I'm Dr. Deagle. I can order testing and ask your neurologist or neuroscientist to do testing, and it can prove to you precisely what I'm saying, including organic acid metabolites in your urine.
Well, that's good that you've got
you can
got
measure specific interleukins that show up in the urine, and people will have BAF, or brain on fire.
Now, I believe that people who catch Zika, even if they don't show symptoms, are going to have the same problem.
I guarantee you that they will. In fact, I've let this entire class probably causes increased cytokine levels in various tissues. Depending on the genetics, may precipitate anything from, God knows, diabetes to autoimmune diseases to neurodegeneration. And my guess is because it's so indolent, you have a wide range of people, just like we know that Lyme disease, babesiosis, or ehrlichiosis are the primary triggers for anti-oligodendrocyte T lymphocytes that cause multiple sclerosis. Which, by the way, from Trinity College in Dublin 30 years ago, they did research of 3,000-plus autopsies, and what they found is 25% of the population has an MS lesion, most of them in the silent areas, so you'll never pick it up in an area of motor control or proprioception or vision. But, in fact, they do have a lesion on the autopsy. That's actually visible on open autopsy. So when people think that these things don't happen, they're ignorant of the facts that we probably have a lot of things that are impinging on the immune system and on the brain and may not have a full flower of it here in the 6th or 7th decade or even earlier. The peak period for onset of MS is around 49 to 54 in males and females. And there's two peaks, a peak earlier in the later teenagers and later in their late 40s. But my guess is that we're probably going to see a massive surge of neurodegenerative disorders caused by Zika, West Nile virus, and yellow fever, etc.
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to bring that up. Any of the flaviviruses can do that, and there's five
right.
of them.
Right.
All right. We have another candida yeast. Now, most people, when you say candida yeast, they think of a common fungal infection, a yeast infection that women often get and are treated for over the counter with antifungals. But we have a free and easy test to tell if you have a candida yeast overgrowth. Now,
right.
the candida yeast that they're worried about is not the common candida yeast that women get. It's called Candida auris, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in order to see if you have a candida yeast overgrowth, you place a glass of water next to your bed at night before bedtime, and then the first thing in the morning, before you drink, eat, kiss, or brush your teeth, you spit into the glass of water. And then within 30 minutes, you'll see it. The healthy spit will float on top of the water. Spit with candida yeast overgrowth will have one or more of these indicators. That is, suspended cloudy specks or cloudy saliva at or near the bottom of the glass.
Right.
So in 30 minutes or less, you can tell whether you are infected with this candida, with the common.
Well, which strain is it? Is it candida? You said candida auris. I know that the three major strains in North America are candida albicans, which up to 30 years ago was a primary strain. And then we started getting infected in the early 1980s with candida glabrata and tropicalis. There are sub-strains of candida produce aldehydes that actually can cause neurodegeneration and polyneuropathy and other problems, immune system failure. So candida is not as benign as people think.
Well, it isn't, but it's so common that people don't think of it as anything more than to use an over-the-counter fungal cream for it.
Right, well, that's because their doctors know nothing, and I challenge doctors out there that think they know more about the various substrains, and there's only a couple reference labs in the world for mycology. There's one in Osaka, Japan, one here in California, one in Europe, one in China. There's literally five reference labs on the planet, and there's sub-strains of various fungi, including candida, that are lethal, that have 100% lethality because they cause neurodegeneration. And they have been subtyped metabolically, but the candida glabrata and tropicalis are much more common now than they used to be, and they can cause immune system failure, immune system confusion, and trigger autoimmune disease or cancer. So candida is not a minor thing, and the branching form cannot be killed with regular antifungals that the doctors give you, like Nizoral, which, by the way, will chemically and pharmacologically castrate you. So if you measure your male or female hormones after being on Nizoral, you have none.
Well, the one that they're looking at right now is, you almost could call it a bioweapon because it's spreading very fast, and they don't know why it's spreading. But it's a high mortality, multi-drug resistance, MDR. Remember when we used the term MDR, that's multi-drug
right.
resistance.
Multi-drug resistance, which one? Multi-drug resistance, which organism?
Candida auris.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then, of course, in MDR, candida, isn't it? This is like the bug out of hell. I mean, really, people don't understand. We do have antipathogenics that we carry that will kill it. Our Silver 100, our Allison Med, which we have our standard from Germany, and the most powerful of all, our monoatomic Tesla-activated iodine, which other people try to clone and copy and say it's equivalent to ours. They're full of it. Ours is the only one that has a universal role of pathogenicity, and all three of our antipathogenics will penetrate the biofilm, which, by the way, not only bacteria produce, but fungi, too, so you can't kill them off. And many of these drugs, like caspofungin, are extremely dangerous. If you don't measure the liver enzymes, you can cause somebody to go into acute liver failure if you give these drugs. If you stop the drugs after a period of time, the branching form comes back very quickly.
Well, what they discovered it first in Japan in 2009, and so that would have been 7 years ago. And since then, they found it in South Korea, India, South Africa, Kuwait, Colombia, Venezuela, Pakistan, and the United Kingdom, and we've seen our first case now in the United States.
So this sounds like what I would say of the Bible end times. We're seeing multiple plagues and multiple spheres from bacteria, multi-drug-resistant fungi now, multi-drug-resistant viruses, and new even genetic plagues like the OXY513A gene, engineered by Oxitec and now taken over by Intrexon of Maryland, better living through better DNA.
Yeah. Well, this is considered a superbug, and it's just reached the United States. You'll usually pick it up in a hospital.
Oh, yeah. And the place to go to get something deadly is a hospital or a clinic.
Okay. Then we have an article about an asymptomatic typhus case, and because he had caught typhus 15 years before when he was traveling in the world, but he didn't have any symptoms. He thought he was over it, and they did the standard test for working in a restaurant, and he passed them. So he was working in a restaurant, and people started getting sick.
And, because he was infecting them is what he was doing.
He was infecting them. It's a fecal-oral route bug, superbug, and he had no symptoms, like I said. So everybody in the restaurant, all the workers in the restaurant, had to do a swab, and they were all tested for typhus, and his came back positive. So it was a fecal swab, and he was treated with the erythromycin for a month, and then he had to remain clear of typhus for 3 months before he was allowed to return to work. Boy, I sure wouldn't have put him back to work.
By the way, Salmonella typhi is one of the primary organisms in chicken that'll get you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to get salmonella from your chickens, it'll give you a bad day, a bad week maybe, or more. When we come back, we'll talk about more amazing stuff. And as I say, the scare your pants off stuff is coming.
Yep.
Isn't it? Back in just
a minute. It is. 200,000 years.
Yep. Back in a minute.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Humidity, odors, and air pollutants are building in your basement and crawl space, turning your home into an uncomfortable, unhealthy environment. Stop fighting this yearly battle. Get a Wave moisture control unit like Kathy did.
The smell is gone and the basement is now clean and livable. We created a very nice room in the basement and we love being able to spend time there.
Listen to what Paul had to say.
I have COPD and restricted airway disease. Since I put this ventilation unit in, it's made an incredible difference in my breathing and the air quality in only 3 weeks. It has amazed me. My son has asthma and lives in our finished basement. He has stopped coughing already.
Unlike dehumidifiers, dryers, wave units are energy efficient, have no buckets of water, and will expel harmful gases and pollutants. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-618-WAVE. That's 888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now there's a better way to remove these dangers and odors. It's with the computerized Wave Moisture Control Unit that reduces moisture and expels pollutants.
We replaced our old dehumidifier with the Wave Unit, and in only 3 weeks, our basement is dry and the musty smell is gone.
Wave units require no maintenance, no buckets of water or filters, and costs only pennies a day to run. Breathe better, live healthier with an affordable, no maintenance Wave unit. Call 888-618-WAVE, 888-618-WAVE, or visit MyDryHome.com. MyDryHome.com.
Ride the wave. Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Medical report, and you got some interesting things here, and I have some articles too that I've managed to dig up on giant gravity waves to mix summer with winter. Wrecked jet stream now runs from pole to pole. There's some really scary and very bizarre things going on in terms of what's happening to the planet. Let's talk about this, and we need to clarify. Gravity waves generally refer to the large, what's called the Atacama Large Millimeter Array, or ALMA, that was reactivated after 5 years, identified a dwarf star out in the Oort cloud about 0.73 light years out. Is there a little difference in the terminology here in the use of the term gravity waves, mixing the seasons and the crossing this last week with the northern and southern jet stream? And by the way, we had a caller this morning before the show started, early this morning, about 20-plus people died in West Virginia because of superstorms and extreme flooding. The biblical-level flooding has occurred in Texas now, and extreme weather is now the standard. It's not an anomaly now. Extreme weather all over the planet is everywhere.
Well, that's right. They've got a lot of concerns in Europe and also in the Far East, India and Russia and China.
China had a recent tornadic period that killed, I think, almost 500 people in Western China, in Eastern China. That where literally there were tornadic activity and extreme weather that they've never seen before in history last week.
Okay, well, what happened after the Gulf Stream stopped, and that was, remember when we talked to Dr. Bengarzi?
Dr. Zangari from Italy, from the Nonlinear Institute, and he's a physicist in the Nonlinear Institute working with NOAA. And, of course, John Moore, first tracked down the story. We later had talks not only with him but also some people from NOAA. And by the way, it's very hard to get Dr. Zangari back on. He got a little terrified that maybe he was crossing into an area where releasing Tier 1 science in this area might make his lifespan shorten somewhat or put him into some kind of academic box where he would become blacklisted. So I think there were a number of reasons why he became uncooperative of coming back on the program.
Well, that was due here in the United States to George W. Bush. He told the climate scientists, the people in NOAA and in the National Weather Service, that they were not to talk about climate change. Absolutely not. And they weren't to mention it in any of their models, and they weren't to mention it on the air at all. And he put a cap on our knowledge of how the climate was changing for the 8 years that he was as president.
Right.
And so that we can, you know, we feel behind the world for 8 years, and you just can't make up that kind of difference. And this didn't come out of the United States. This came out of Canada, out of Ottawa, Canada. And there are people called paleoclimatologists, and this is a real branch of science.
Right.
And in fact, in the movie, The Day After, the hero was a paleoclimatologist. And usually, a paleontologist will study things that happened in the past. And this happened. What's happening now happened in the past about 15 million years ago. And
ooh,
that was
one quarter of the way to the time when the dinosaurs were terminated. So that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. And during that time, they said that it took 200,000 years for the Earth to correct itself, for the weather on the Earth to correct itself. So we're beginning a 200,000 year epic. And we're right at the beginning. I mean, we're 200,000 years.
What do they think is the cause of it? Because I think there's probably multiple drivers, not just one driver.
Oh yeah, there's multiple drivers. But I wanted this first picture.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have pictures, do we?
No, we will when we do the video later. You're talking about the West Antarctic heat pictures. Is that the one you want to look at? Or the first one that shows the gravity waves to mix summer with winter, where it looks like a picture drawn by the guy that cut his ear off. What's his name? The artist.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it looks very surreal.
It looks surreal. It's like you look at these jet streams with all the colors and say, this looks bizarre. This is not normal. And literally, the jet streams are crossing and run from pole to pole now.
Well, they just started. And that little green circle on the equator line is where the first time that they see the northern jet stream going across the equator and into the southern jet stream.
Wow.
So this is the very beginning. And the
date
to remember, the date I want everybody to remember is June 27th, 2016.
We'll be back in a minute. Yeah. That's it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi folks, Ronnie here reminding you that June is Health Awareness Month, sponsored by GetTheTea.com. Many of you have heard our tea commercial, maybe visited the website, but haven't committed because, well, you just don't know. Skeptical, we understand. Just to remind you, our tea is not just tea. In fact, very little tea. Life Change Tea is a unique blend of 8 different herbs, removing intruders that attack your health. You brew our tea to make the concentrate, you add water, and put in the fridge. 2 8-ounce glasses a day, and life will be good. Visit us at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And this month is lots of fun stuff with Health Awareness Month. You could be picked and receive your order absolutely free. You never know. Read the testimonies and try our products. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And for great health tips, visit my YouTube channel at Health Matters Now, where you can learn about health tips and how products work on your body. Join me, GetTheTea.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function.
Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
And welcome back. And this article is really interesting. It's by Mr. Robert Scribbler, and robertscribbler.com. Actually, I got the link from the article I was reading yesterday from Tim Alexander. There's one part that I have takes pretty significant issue with. And I've had a number of climatologists and experts on over the last dozen years that have talked to me and have brought my knowledge base up, because I have a background in oceanography, that make me very concerned when I hear people to try to say human-induced climate change, which is a very tiny pimple on the back of an elephant in terms of the production of CO2, nitric oxide, and other gases that affect the ozone layer. Human activity is not the primary driver of world climate. And when I hear these kind of statements, including the fact that they've taken away measuring stations in the north to look at different climate change, and we see very dramatic things occur which haven't happened in 15 million years, when there's been peaks in carbon dioxide since then many times and hasn't precipitated this kind of climatic catastrophe, I get very concerned when I hear a specific model without a nonlinear program to explain it, to look at the specific changes that says that it's human activity that's causing it. Because you see, the connection is, and then you've got to understand what Canada is all about, because I did research in Canada on my PhD project, and I understand that Canadians are very lockstep with globalism and the idea that human-caused carbon dioxide is a driver of world climate change and pole-to-pole gravity waves, which they use a term, to be honest with you, that I think causes confusion, which basically just means large air masses. The real problems with the driver of climate is threefold. The first thing is gravity waves from deep space from the return of the Nemesis dwarf star. Or there's other thing, names called Heraclius, the destroyer. There's all kinds of ancient Hebrew and even and cartouches in Egypt, Egyptian names for the return of this destroyer. The second thing that I think is a major driver of world climate is the fact that we have not fixed Fukushima Daiichi, because it is destroying the upper atmosphere, and that's a man-caused factor, but it's not CO2, and that could easily be controlled. The third factor that I think is driving world climate is the fact that we're using weather modification technology, and we've converted the upper atmosphere to a plasma by inserting nanoparticle thorium, strontium, barium, and aluminum. So there is something like gravity waves or solar and galactic things, they're actually changing the climate of the Earth much faster, because we've actually converted the atmosphere for weaponizing the planet into a plasma. And converting the upper troposphere into a plasma changes the third and fourth levels of the Van Allen radiation belt and alters the geotectonics of the planet, climate control, and can even trigger off earthquakes and volcanoes. So I think that our meddling is primarily not CO2, but it's meddling, producing nuclear reactors that we don't stop polluting radiation, destroying the upper troposphere and the ozone layer. And secondly, climate modification caused by us meddling with the upper atmosphere by inserting nanoparticles, thorium, strontium, barium, and aluminum. And I took care of the pilots that were actually flying and doing it. So when people want to dispute it, it's not open to a dispute. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you something that I know is a fact. The problem is that humans producing CO2, if you have scrubbers and you have clean coal, is not going to do this climate change stuff that they're talking about. Because Canadians, along with the globalist UN, want a carbon tax so they can have a rapid reaction military and humanitarian service force to take control of the planet, which literally will supersede all national armies and forces on Earth. And this is very concerning because it's tied directly with globalism and massive population reduction. Because if, quote, the carrying capacity of the Earth is exceeded by a specific numerical amount, it means they want to reduce the human population to save the planet. And this thesis is based on false logic. So it's very, very concerning to me when I hear people like Mr. Robert Scribler make statements, not like many other climatologists in the United Nations. And we talked about this East Anglia facility in England and the false use of different data to create a thesis that, to me, is world manipulation of the populations of the planet and scaremongering to scare the, quote, bejesus out of people so they're willing to accept population reduction and the loss of carbon dioxide-generated energy. It's extremely concerning to hear this kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I understand your concern.
I have a ton of data. I've had years and years of doing work on this. In fact, it's one of my primary things I study. And I can tell you from all the experts that I've talked to, looking at the actual data, there's no indication our CO2 is a problem, but there is indication that not fixing Fukushima is screwing the ozone layer, and there is a lot of indication, and this is a fact. This is why we have Lake Shasta in Northern California, where you have over 2,000 parts per million aluminum nanoparticles showing up in the water, and I've had experts on the program that there are no aluminum smelters nearby. It's coming from the upper atmosphere because we have weaponized the upper atmosphere because we've converted the upper troposphere to weaponize the planet for torsion field imaging through the planet, for weaponizing weather so we can actually turn on superstorms, and for creating geotectonic activities, including tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanic activity, as a weapon against nations that don't go along with us. So we don't just use nuclear weapons. We now weaponize planet Earth. And the fact of converting the upper atmosphere into a plasma using paramagnetic materials like thorium, strontium, aluminum, barium, that's the danger. And these idiots like Dr. Isley, who's a physicist who tried to tell me on March 17th, 1997, at the Colorado Springs Conference, where I attended and spent an entire evening with this guy, and he's a physicist owning the vitamin cottages, I cross-examined him and did what I call Vulcan mind melt. And once I get a data dump from someone and cross-examine their logic, I realized he set up the World Constitution Parliament Association in 1958, and their full modus was to use climate control as a means to get world government.
Okay, well, I want to talk about what they found, and we know that in 2015, the North Pole rose above freezing.
Oh, yeah, and the South Pole, though, has had an increase in the ice sheet dramatically, so climate is all screwed up. There's no doubt that the northern passage is open.
We both agree that the climate is all messed up.
It's not just that, though. Methane hydrates are being released in the oceans everywhere, including right off Pendleton Marine Corps Base. In the Arctic, there's a ton of methane hydrates being released all over the planet, burping up, and these things are really dangerous. But they're caused by galactic and solar events that are well beyond the control of humans, but we're definitely screwing it up by adding, changing what's called the fourth and fifth layer of the Van Allen radiation belt, which is the tropospheric and the lithospheric zones of that belt. And when you change that, you change the plasma physics of the oceans, the tectonic plates, the release of methane hydrates, and the geotectonic events that can trigger off earthquakes and subduction fault zones like Cascadia. All these things are happening because we're screwing with the upper atmosphere. It's not human activity, it's globalist activity trying to modify and weaponize the planet.
Okay, as a result of that, the circumpolar jet stream slowed down. And when a jet stream slows down like that, it meanders. It goes north and south. And then it goes, and we've talked about that over the last few years.
It's very real, and you've done a really good job of showing that. What that means is we're going to see literally day after tomorrow type crazy storms where polar inversions things can create superstorms we've never seen on the planet before.
Yes, and then in just this last year we had El Nino, and that was a warming that came up as far as Northern California along the west coast of the United States.
Right.
And that forced heat northward into the Arctic. Now, if you look at the maps, you'll see that there's still cooler water off the northeast coast of the United States, and that is from the glacier on Greenland. Glacier on Greenland is still melting, and so you're getting colder water up there.
Right.
So this doesn't apply to the northeast United States yet. But when the glacier in Greenland melts, the oceans are going to be 20 to 25 feet higher than they are at this time. 20 to 25 feet higher, so be prepared to move away from the coast at that time.
But you remember, besides that, on the Antarctic area, the ice sheet is increasing six times faster than normal.
Well, and that's what's happening is that the warm air from the equator, normally there's a ridge of very hot air over the equator, you know, that's called the tropics.
Right.
And that hot air is being forced northward because the jet stream is meandering and it goes down that far and then it brings that warm air back up into the Arctic. And as it doesn't take it into the Antarctic, but because the Antarctic is still frozen, and so the albedo is very high.
What's going on in the Antarctic is three things. Firstly, the ozone layer is opening a larger hole than it ever has been. Second is it's cooler. We get notes from an emergency nurse, Margaret is her name, in Australia, and I get contacts from Southern America, and it's never been so cold. I mean, the weather that we have in New South Wales and Australia has never been so cold in these areas in the Southern Hemisphere. So we're seeing extreme weather everywhere on the planet, which means famine, massive population migration because of climate, what we call climate migrants. And there's a very high possibility, because we've screwed up with the geotectonics, we're going to have things like the Cascades Subduction Zone and San Andreas and the San Jacinto Fault Zone, which, by the way, is 75 miles from my home and shook the hell out of me a couple of weeks ago, literally like being on top of a rubber mat, bouncing around in my chair at 1:06 a.m. And people need to understand, these things are all connected. There's no disconnection here. They're all connected together. And we're going to start seeing famine, massive population migration, and superstorms, as well as geotectonic events, has never been seen in human history.
Yeah, NASA has just put out a report that says that the May of 2016, you know, we're at the beginning of July, so the end of June, so just a month ago, May 2016 was the warmest May since record-keeping began with NASA 137 years ago. It is now the eighth record hot month in a row.
Right.
The eighth record hot month in a row.
Yeah, now 2 weeks ago on Father's Day, I was up in Portland, but the temperature here in a number of places in the southwest United States reached records that had never been reached before. In Palm Springs, California, which is about 100 miles toward the desert away from where I live, it was 118. Phoenix, Arizona reached a new peak for that day of the year. I think it was around 120 or 118, too. So, and we here in Vista was 100 degrees, where we are at around 1,200 feet elevation, 7 miles from the ocean. So, this is not normal. And thank God it didn't persist, because if that circulating, if you want to call it, vortex kept on building heat up, it would have been a climate catastrophe. We would have had a lot of power outages, fires, and a lot of people dead from heat stroke.
Yes. And as a result, so that was one indication. One indication was that the North Pole had a temperature above freezing. This was the second one, is that we've got the hottest 5 months, 8 months on record, in a consecutively. And now they've looked at these
paleoclimatologists.
Climatologists are showing us, now you're not going to get these pictures out of NOAA or NASA, but they're showing us what's happening to the jet stream because of the meandering, and it's going down close to the equator, bringing that hot air up to the Arctic, and then going back down to the equator. And in this case, on June 27th, 2016, a little piece of the northern jet stream crept over the equator and joined the southern jet stream. So this is a moment. This is a new epoch. It's going to last for 200,000 years, and they're calling it the death of winter.
Right. Now, the death of winter also means the death of normal climate. It means, and it's right in, by the way, in Matthew 24, that the seasons will be mixed up. It's one of the final end time signs of the end of the secular age. That the summers will be mixed with winters, that there'll be earthquakes in diverse places, and we will see extreme weather and famine. And we're now in the days of Joseph, where the seven fat years are over. Believe it or not, those seven fat years were during the time of Barack Hussein Obama, the lightning fallen from heaven, the demonic overlord of our current presidential regime. And now we're moved into the 7 years of famine. This is happening right now, and it's going to presage the start of the tribulation, which I don't know when it's going to start, but I can tell you it will be a peace treaty where a Palestinian state will occur, and they'll sanctify the Temple Mount and allow the Jews to start a blood sacrifice, which is an abomination. So the desolation is a Palestinian state, and the abomination is the starting of a Jewish sacrifice, all tied in with us literally continuing to tell God we know better than him and we're not going to obey him, and judgment upon the planet is now in full force.
Yes. Well, the heat, you know, when the paleoclimatologist looks at climate in the past, and they go back to the last hothouse mass extinction event, and that was about 55 million years ago.
Right.
And it lasted for 200,000 years, and they're saying that this is possibly the beginning of another mass extinction event.
Yeah, I don't think they know. And one of the things that disturbs me is when they make theses based on just carbon dioxide, not dealing with multiple drivers. And the fact is they also don't want to talk about Tier 1 science, about what's being done to alter the planet and its geotectonics. We've had experts on the program that talked about the insertion of nanoparticles in the upper atmosphere and paramagnetics and what it'll do to the atmosphere. But when you combine it with solar and galactic events and things like Fukushima Daiichi, which we know right after it happened 5.5 years ago, there was a giant ozone hole that appeared over the northern hemisphere. We don't know what toxic radioisotopes do to the plasma physics of the lithospheric layer at the bottom of the Silurian and other trenches in the oceans. It's very probable that gravity waves from deep space combined with what we've done to the planet have amplified whatever negative things happen and are bringing back something very ancient. And it's my guess it's well beyond just the issue of carbon dioxide. It's Fukushima, it's nanoparticles in the upper atmosphere, and it's gravity waves, real gravity waves from deep space, from Nemesis or Heraclobus, which is the ancient term that the Sumerians and Egyptians used, called Nemesis or the Destroyer. And we're facing now a time which I'm sure the globalists and Dr. Harrington did discuss this. They used to call it Planet X. It's not really a planet. It's a dwarf star. And for every star in our galaxy, which is around 460 million stars, we have 10,000 dwarf stars that are brown and red dwarf. And a red dwarf star has a magnetic flux field 200 times larger than our yellow dwarf star, Sol. So what's going on is the effect of these is on our atmosphere, especially now that we've altered it, is probably not good. And in the plasma physics of it, there's probably plasma physicists that can describe in exquisite equations exactly how when you convert and put nanoparticles that allow you to weaponize the upper atmosphere, how it'll change the geotectonic events and weather, because this kind of weather has got multiple drivers, but probably the worst is our stupid policies to weaponize the planet for war. That's what I'm concerned about most, is the fact that most people aren't aware that they've actually weaponized the atmosphere.
Okay, and as a result of that, what we're going to see is we're going to see more warming in the northern hemisphere, and the southern hemisphere has ice over Antarctica and will remain cooler for thousands of years, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to get a lot worse. And that also means much of the arable land in the southern areas of South America may be much cooler than we would have expected in the past. And the weather that we expected in the southern hemisphere may not support the populations they have there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Cancellation day of your ignorance of what's going on. It's cancellation day when we don't have all of the information. We haven't worked out all the models. But I can tell you from all the various contacts I have, both regular and classified, there's a lot more drivers for the weather, and I get very concerned when people try to pull up one or two drivers and say, this is going to go for several hundred thousand years. We wonder what Robert Scribler is writing in his Scribler. Is it a globalist scheme? When I talked to Dr. Isley and other experts, including pilots flying out of Buckley and Peterson, putting nanoparticles in the upper atmosphere, and talked to people that are climatologists that were directly opposing what was going on at the research facilities for the United Nations and in England and elsewhere, what I see happening, the reality is the climate's going to get real scary. It's like a B-movie. When these things happen, it may be, for example, a lensing effect, which happened in just one or two days in the southwest United States to hit new records. But what if it lasted 2 weeks or a month? You'd have thousands or tens of thousands dead from heat stroke, and you'd have millions running and trying to escape the extreme heat. So it's a very dangerous thing, and people need to understand the primary effect of this is going to be massive population migration, famine, and extreme weather that will be so extreme that people will be running for their lives, literally. That's what I see coming.
Well, I agree with you, and we need to tell our audience that they need to be prepared to to move. They need to move away from the sea coast, from the Atlantic coast and the Pacific coast and the Gulf coast, because the sea levels are going to rise.
Yeah, in fact, I tell people, be a minimum of 7 miles in from the coast and at least 1,000 feet elevation, especially like on the coast. Be aware that Cascadia subduction zone is likely to go. We now see the recharging of the magma at Fort Hood, Mount Hood, and also recharging Mount St. Helens. We see tectonic events all over the planet increasing, and extreme weather, like in West Virginia, where 20 people died, and biblical-level rains in Texas. The drying out of the Middle East, which is the primary thing besides their eschatology, driving Muslims into large cities and now into Europe and North America and Australia. These events are going to amplify and continue at a more extreme pace here in the next couple of years. And it's going to get scary. It's going to get extremely scary when you see the kind of extreme weather that's going to drive people literally running from their homes and their places where they live to seek, you know, solace from places not so darn hot or rainy or extremely dangerous in terms of weather or just crop collapse. I mean, just look at the amount of crops that can't be grown in California now because of loss of water. They're even trying to use fracking water, and there's a number of opponents trying to stop using fracking water to grow veggies in California. This has not ever been seen before, has it?
Not for 15 million years.
Ooh, that's a few years before Adam, I would say.
I do want to mention the Cascadia
subduction
zone off of the northwest part of the United States. And
right.
They held a drill there, and they assumed that there was going to be a 9.0 magnitude earthquake on the Juan de Fuca plate. And
right.
They based that on a magnitude of that type happening 500 years ago.
Yeah, it happens every 300 to 500 years, and the Indian Native people call it the Dance of the Thunderbird. And they have a historical record that they include in their, you know, their, what they call their Indian posts, what they call them, you know, and their dances and traditions. So yeah, they know this happens, and there's a giant fault zone with abductions occurring last year off the coast of California, Washington, and Oregon. And there's rumbles that it's going to happen again soon, probably in the next 5 to 20 years. Chances are pretty high that we're going to have a major superquake and tsunami off the coast.
Yes, and they call it Cascadia Rising because the northwest part of the United States is actually going to rise up in altitude.
Wow.
Yep.
Amazing. Thank you, and we'll do an update with lots of pictures after the show today. We'll see you in over an hour, okay?
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.